I'd like to share a story with you in order to set the tone for this solemn occasion. She risked it all for love. There had not been a place in her entire country that had not been touched by the ravages of war. And all of the American soldiers had been sent to her country to liberate them. Often it was difficult to know who was right and who was wrong. But she had fallen in love with an American GI. He had visited her village one day and was smitten by her long, beautiful hair and her fetching brown eyes. His encampment was about a day's journey, but somehow he found an excuse to be able to come every other day to her village and shower her with gifts. The village people warned her that this American soldier was bad news. In fact, her own family looked at him with disdain. They said, "We hate GIs. They promise you everything, but then they abandon you." But his warm smile and gifts of things that she could only dream of. Chocolate, scarves, a beautiful dress won her heart over. And as they walked among the village trees on their all too frequent visits, he promised her forever. When his enlistment was up, he would take her to America, the land of opportunity, the land of plenty. They would have lots of children and grow old together. By this time, the village people and her own family began to reject her. You see, by this time she had a baby in her bosom. And her lover, they planned it. They would be together that day, and a December birth was just a mere 4 weeks away. But she wasn't afraid because her best friend, her fiancé, was going to take her away from all that. From all that ridicule and poverty. It had been 5 days since she last saw him. Never there had been more than 3 days that he didn't find his way to come by the village and hold her and caress her. 5 days turned into 2 weeks. 2 weeks into three. And she didn't see him. She happened to see another soldier, and she stopped him. She told him about him, his name, what company he was in. "I'm sorry, miss. They left stateside 2 weeks ago." And the realization that she had been abandoned left her inconsolable. The day they were longing to face together, she would have to face it by herself. On a straw mat in her family's hut, she gave birth to a baby boy. Family was hoping that the baby would look like them, but it was not to be. He was the face of his father. And the day that she had longed for such a long time started the process, set in motion the greatest betrayal of all. You see, the child of a mixed race was more than her family could bear. And in order to save the family's honor, she must be banished. And in spite of the bitter cold, they drove her into the night. The only possession she had was that baby that she had given birth to hours before, wrapped in thin layers of cloth. And as she walked into the night, tears froze to her cheek. Her dreams, her lover, her family had been stripped away. And now she was left physically and emotionally destitute. The only thing of value she had was that child that she held close in her arms. Weak and weary from walking miles after giving birth, she was miles away from any village or hut. Her only protection against the falling snow and the bitter cold was a crude wooden slated footbridge that she huddled under for protection. And as she held that baby close to her chest, she shivered into the night. And it was past midnight, and now that bridge was little, offered little protection against the biting cold and the winds that blew fiercer. And as the night passed midnight, the truth became all the more obvious. She was going to freeze to death. Abject anger from being abandoned by her family and her lover turned into fatal resignation. The next morning, she and her baby would be found frozen to death. But there's only somebody who can understand sacrificial love in its truest sense. She chose life for her baby. She took off all her clothes, and she wrapped her baby on with her clothes. Understanding fully the ramifications of what she had just done, she held her baby one last time. The last image she had before she slipped into this frozen sleep was the image of her newborn baby. The next morning, it was a different scene. The storm had passed. And making his way home after being delayed because of the storm was a Christian missionary. He had traveled that road home more times than he could admit. And seeing this bridge was a welcome sign because it meant that he was almost home. It was about an hour after sunrise, and as he breathed, every time he exhaled, his breath became an icy mist. It was bitter cold. Too cold for anybody to be walking out there. He was the first one to cross the bridge that morning. His feet would kick off the snow as it fell. And as he made it almost to the end of the bridge, he heard what he thought was a faint cry. Well, that's strange. It's too cold out here for anybody to be. Certainly not a child. It would not survive. But as he made it to the end, he heard the cry yet again. Instinct took over. He made a sharp right turn and walked under the bridge. His eyes fell upon the most tragic scene. The icy form of a naked woman, white with frost, holding a bundle of cloth. As he got closer, he uncovered the cloth, and there he found the baby, cold and wet. He grabbed them and placed it inside his coat against his chest, and he hurried home with renewed vigor. Questions filled his mind. Emotions played with him. Who was this baby? Who was this woman who gave her life to save him? And despite his work among the village people there, they didn't say much. In fact, he was to learn that the answers to his questions were still years in the future. He had arrived to Southeast Asia by himself. War-torn country was no place for a bride. And strangely enough, the village people that he worked with were very strange but silent about this child. You see, there was never any value, nor would there ever be any value to a child of a mixed race. And so in spite of his work with them, he realized that he had to raise this child by himself. He was hoping that one day the people would warm up to this child that favored their race. He hoped that one day he would break through their prejudice. The years passed by, the bond between child and adopted father became stronger. Now he had a new purpose in life, and seeing this child take his first steps and learning the stories about Jesus and laughing at his boundless energy. When the child turned 10, the father knew that it was time to tell his son the story of his mother's sacrificial love. Never had he gazed on the face of his son that he had not rehearsed what he would tell him. And leading to that particular Christmas Eve with the questions of his son, how did you become my father? What really happened to my mother? And as they gathered around the family Bible, the father told them the story of another child. He drew parallels between his son's mother and the Christ child. They both had given their lives so that we might live. And as his son's eyes were transfixed on his father's face, his father told them the story of the bridge. Of being found in his mother's arms of her frozen countenance. And as he finished the story, he could look in his son's eyes and notice the pain of learning a story far different than he had imagined. Nothing left to be said. The son asked the father permission to go to bed early. That was kind of strange, especially for Christmas Eve. And as a father laid in bed, he silently prayed that his son would find peace in the knowledge of his true value. Morning dawned. Fresh snow was falling. And if Christmas's past were any indication, the son soon would run into the bedroom and shake his bed so that he could get up and they could both go and open presents together. But this Christmas morning, the house was strangely silent. So he got out of bed, he put his slippers on, and he headed towards his son's bedroom. He wasn't ready for what he saw when he opened the door. The bed was made as if nobody had slept on it. Running toward the window, he looked outside and he realized his son was missing. He could see tracks leading away from the house. The fresh snow falling let him know that his son had gotten an early start. So he ran and got his coat and he headed outside, thankful for the fresh snowflakes because that they would lead him toward where his son was. And the path that the son had taken that morning was a familiar one. It led to the bridge where it all began. And as he headed over there, the question in his mind was, why would my son be out here on a cold, snowy morning like this? His question would soon be answered. Standing at the foot of the bridge was his naked son with arms outstretched. He hurried over there and took off his coat and wrapped him on it. The skin was red because of the bitter cold. And as he held him, he asked his son, "Son, why are you out here like this?" Lips quivering and tears falling down his cheek, he placed his face against his father's chest and said, "I just wanted to know how she felt. I just wanted to know how she felt." As we stand at the base of the cross this morning, at this Christmas Eve, as we meditate on the sacrificial love of our Father, who gave the best that he had in the person of his Son Jesus, which is what we celebrate during Christmas. As we meditate on the emblems of that sacrificial love this morning, on the bread and the wine, would it not be proper, perhaps through tears, to wonder how he felt? I wonder how Jesus felt when, with arms outstretched, he gave his life for me.